You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is back tomorrow. Well, Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer, which means the start of summer movie season. Ever since Jaws broke the box office in 75, summer's always been the big season for movie releases. This year, we have a lot of sequels, prequels, remakes coming out, a lot of them opening on the same weekend and competing with each other. And we're taking your calls on this. What summer movies are you excited to see? Are you a fan of summer movie season? You can call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. David Edelstein joins us now. He's the chief film critic for New York Magazine, Vulture.com, and NPR's Fresh Air. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
So even though it's just now Memorial Day, it kind of feels like summer movie season has started. We've had The Avengers, we've had Mad Max, both of those getting a bit of buzz. So when do you think of summer movie season as really starting?
I hate to say it, but I kind of think summer movie season is all year round now, except with the notable exception of October, November, and December, when it's Oscar bait season. But the rest of the time, there really is. When we spoke of the old era of summer movies, from say 75 Jaws and Star Wars in 76 or 77, that was when there were grown-up movies the rest of the year. But you've got superhero movies that come out all year round now. You've got these huge Marvel, what they now call universes, that have established footholds in the year-round schedule. So I don't know that it's that much of a distinction anymore. I know this program is about summer movies. So you can maybe see more of them, a greater concentration of them, an idea that people are free, that kids are free, and they'll be able to see two and three in a week instead of one in a week. That's about it.
Summer movie going to me feels different than it does in the winter. There's just something about going on a late summer night that feels distinct to me from seeing movies the rest of the time of the year. You know, Wisconsin has very distinct seasons. So for me, that's part of it.
Does Wisconsin still have drive-ins?
I think there are a couple of them left, too. Yeah, not a lot, but there are a few.
Well, my wife's parents have a house in the beach in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and one of the last remaining drive-ins, and it is always a great summer ritual to go to the drive-in. I really envy people who live near a drive-in, and there's just something wonderful. There's something wonderful, first of all, about seeing a double feature. It used to be you would see triple features, and on those rare occasions, they would show, say, five really crappy horror movies that would go from dusk to dawn, and there was nothing better than that. That, to me, is a true summer
yeah.
movie experience.
Well, we'll see how this one goes over. We've got the third or fourth Jurassic Park, but a reboot of Jurassic Park coming out. What do you know about that one?
Well, it's funny. You're asking me about a lot of movies that I haven't seen, and I don't trust people who, especially critics, when they opine about things that they haven't seen. I will say that with a Jurassic Park introduced back in the 90s, an extraordinary new kind of animation that instantly blew away our beloved stop-motion animation by people like Willis O'Brien of King Kong and Ray Harryhausen of Jason and the Argonauts. So all of a sudden you saw these much more fluid, lifelike dinosaurs. And when a new Jurassic Park movie comes out, I think it's fair to say that we expect to see the next iteration of technology to give us even more lifelike dinosaurs, and that will probably involve 3D. It will probably involve greater immersion. You may find even greater articulation among the dinosaurs. But I haven't seen the film. The early word on it is very good.
And one thing I noticed, this one is rated R, so I think that's a difference. I believe some of the earlier ones were PG-13, but in either case, here's a clip.
Every time we've unveiled a new attraction, attendance has spiked.
That was awesome.
Corporate felt genetic modification would up the wow factor.
They're dinosaurs. Wow enough.
Little taste there of the coming Jurassic Park. That one's coming out in June. I want to ask you about another film. This one's got a really interesting backstory on it, the movie Dope, which I gather had trouble getting people to support it early on, and then it kind of killed at Sundance. What happened with that one?
It was a huge critical hit and an audience favorite. Again, I haven't seen it. I am seeing it on Tuesday. It doesn't come out until June. I think the official release date is June 19th, but it's about a kid in Los Angeles in a very bad neighborhood who is simply going through the kinds of things that more affluent kids in other parts of the country take for granted, college applications, SAT exams, and dope is being used in this sense not to talk about drugs, but to denote the fact that he wants to be and indeed becomes dope. You see?
Gotcha. Well, we've got a little taste of that one.
You go to high school in Inglewood. You think you're going to get into Harvard?
I'm from a poor, crime-filled neighborhood, raised by a single mother, don't know my dad, blah, blah.
It's cliche.
All right, a little bit of the rags to riches, a story of Cinderella there. The backstory, the actual plot is a little bit different. Well, here's one I think that you have seen, David, Tomorrowland.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually one of the few who thinks it's a terrific movie with some major reservations. It is a real throwdown. It's Brad Bird, the director, is really throwing down the gauntlet to popular culture. This is a movie that very aggressively takes a stand against the culture of nihilism, the apocalypse movie, the movies that almost make a fetish of the end of the world, zombie plagues, Terminator robots exterminating mankind. He's really saying that that something has gone wrong with our popular culture. To use the Doctor Strangelove line, in a way, we've learned to stop worrying and love the bomb too much. What complicates it, and I think it's a very Brad Bird is a great director. The Incredibles and Ratatouille and The Iron Giant and the fourth Mission Impossible film, Ghost Protocol. He's also a bit of an Ayn Randian, so you've got some very weird disjunctive politics in there. Like he almost makes the villains, the science teachers who talk too much about global warming because their negativity dampens the imagination of the young children who will go out and try to figure out solutions to the problems. You're probably thinking, well, that doesn't make very much sense. And no, it doesn't make very much sense, but it's very much in line with his weird politics. The movie hasn't gotten too many good reviews. I think I probably liked it more than other people. I think it's a beautiful piece of storytelling, very exciting if you can kind of lop off those weird politics.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're one of the few positive reviews that I've seen, but on the other hand, you also like the young woman who you think is going to be a breakout star.
Well, she's darling. If you've seen Felicity Jones, she looks like a young Felicity Jones. You know, she's this British girl with this kind of darling overbite and very poised, always unflappable, in command. I think she's terrific. But you know what? If the movie tanks, nobody's going to come out of it looking well. I'm very surprised if it tanks, because I thought this one, I usually have decent instincts. Even if I hate a movie, I know it's going to be a hit. But this one I thought would really reach a pretty wide audience. And I also thought that cultural message, enough apocalypse movies. You know, one of the things that is interesting about, it's not just that we love seeing cities destroyed. It's that because of computer-generated imagery, we can now do it so easily. You know, in the old days, a disaster movie was a real occasion. But now, since everything is done inside of a computer, and you have armies and armies of special effects people, and you also have the Chinese and the Asian market clamoring for IMAX and 3D, and spectacle, you're going to see a lot more movies in which San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles are going to, you know, fall, and either Godzilla is going to stomp them, or aliens are going to destroy them, or they're going to get nuked, or whatever. And it really is, it's really about the technology, just like Jurassic Park. It's about the technology is leading. the technology is leading. It's not that these people have this really passionate, you know, desire to destroy San Francisco or New York again.
But don't you think part of it is also what you see going on in literature, that that books are leading movies, Hunger Games and Divergent,
yes.
Those franchises are leading it, and that's what's
Absolutely.
In
You're right.
young adult. It's
You're
dystopian
right. the dystopian
stuff.
The dystopian stuff to an alarming degree, and I should say that I think Brad Bird in Tomorrowland is also targeting that. There are so many movies now in which, YA novels in which kids kill kids. I mean, it was very rare when I was growing up that you would read books in which just kids would die by the hundreds, often at the hands of other kids, or they would commit suicide, this weird sense now that popular culture is telling us that the way we live now is doomed, one way or another. Our way of life is unsustainable. Now, politically, I happen to think that that is the sort of thing that would galvanize people, and I would, in theory, approve of that in pop culture. Brad Bird argues that, in fact, as I said, it has the opposite effect. We're learning to kind of, if you will, dig the apocalypse, dig the idea of dystopia. If nothing else, it'll make a break.
We're talking right now with film critic David Edelstein about the upcoming crop of summer movies and a whole lot more. And we're taking your calls. Are you into the idea of summer movie season, or do you feel like David said, that it's sort of always summer movie season these days? And what do you think? Are you tired of dystopian movies? You're tired of seeing killer robots and kids killing kids on screen. Are you ready for something a little different? Maybe the next trend in filmmaking and maybe literature, too. Call 800-642-1234. Let us know what you're looking for in your summer movie. We'll continue the conversation and get to your calls in a minute. Right now, Kristen Durst joins us from the newsroom with this check of headlines. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our discussion now with film critic David Edelstein, talking about summer movie season, which officially more or less kicks off today. And we're taking your calls. What do you look forward to seeing in theaters this summer? Is there something you're looking forward to? Do you still see movies in the theater, or do you just wait and stream it later online on Netflix? What is the benefit, do you think, of seeing a movie in the theater? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Now, David, there's another one coming out I'm curious about because it features a new lady in comedy whose star really seems to be on the rise, Amy Schumer. What do you know about Trainwreck?
I've been an Amy Schumer freak for many years, dating even before her show. And I love her. The aggressively filthy nature of her comedy and the way she puts her kind of masochism and sort of culturally induced self-loathing about her aspects of her body. She uses it, and I think she conquers it in the process. Rather than perpetuating stereotypes, she challenges them. This is my way of saying that. I don't know if the movie is going to represent that kind of sensibility that I've loved from her. It's a Judd Apatow production. Again, don't trust anybody who tells you, like I'm just telling you, that, you know, who prejudges something. It could be a masterpiece. It looks to me like a much more conventional piece of work than maybe I would have expected from her. But, you know, if it does well, if she proves to be a box office draw, then she can pretty much write her own ticket, maybe.
And this is a bit from the trailer. Maybe we can prejudge at least this.
Okay, we can prejudge the trailer.
Okay.
Girls, your mother and I are getting divorced. Monogamy isn't realistic.
Monogamy isn't realistic.
Again.
Monogamy isn't realistic.
I didn't understand that word at the time, but now I know exactly what he was talking about.
It looks like a fun movie. She's someone, I'm not like you, I didn't really know a lot about her until recently, so it'll be interesting, like you said, to see whether this translates into box office success.
Well, it's interesting because the subject of her, look, it's a very, very cruel world out there for actresses and female comedians who are not conventionally, I think she's extremely attractive, but she has made her own hotness or lack thereof the direct subject of many of her shows. In fact, she even did a remake of 12 Angry Men with people in a room in black and with black and white cinematography debating whether or not she was hot enough to have her own show. And the question is, what will the multiplex audience make of her, and will you get the usual chorus of sort of disgusting, sexist, lookist comments from the fanboys, or will, you know, and the sorts of things that Melissa McCarthy has been getting all along, too.
And she's got a new one coming out, too. But let's go to a caller first. I want to get in here. Chris joins us in Germantown. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hello.
My comment was you had asked about theaters and whether or not theaters would begin to draw people again. I was telling your screener, I'm 55, and I really had kind of fallen away from going to theater because I enjoyed watching a movie on DVD at home, my own convenience. I could pause it if I wanted to go to the restroom, that sort of thing. But we went to the Marcus Theater to see the new Mad Max that came out recently, and we saw it in Menominee Falls, my son and I and a couple of friends.
Did you see it in 3D?
No, sir, I did not go quite that far. But I just have to say the experience of the theater was, I hadn't expected it to be that nice. I have to really, really applaud Marcus what they did to the inside. It was a reserve seat. I'd never heard of anything like that. Recliners. The surround sound was tremendous. The experience was something I definitely would repeat. I didn't know theaters had gone that direction. It was really comfortable. It was a clean, pleasant environment. I can't highly recommend the movie. I was
All right.
The movie itself, but the experience in the theater was great, and I will go again.
Okay, well, Chris, thank you for that. So I think I've seen this trend here in Madison where I live. Theaters all over seem to be stepping it up, and maybe according to Chris, it's working. So, David, your thoughts on that, and also maybe give us a little bit of your mind on Mad Max.
Well, they have to, obviously, because so many movies now are being released on video, actually video on demand at the same time. Listen, I review for Fresh Air, and it's good for me in one sense in that I'm able to review a lot more movies for a national audience, for Fresh Air's national audience, and not worry about the fact that these movies are only playing in New York and Los Angeles. So if more people have access to these movies, it's great. On the other hand, I love the theatrical experience, and I think it's very different from the TV experience. The caller said that he could stop at any time he wanted. See, I think that's a problem when you're watching a movie at home, the fact that you have control. I end up reviewing a lot of movies that get sent to me now on screener DVDs, and I force myself to put the remote in the other room. So I sit on the sofa, and you pay more attention when somebody else is screening it, when you don't have that means of control. You have much more of a connection. You're much more alert to it. You can't sort of get lost in your thoughts and say, oh, well, I can always rewind it, or, you know, stop to go to the bathroom or answer a phone call or see if you have any email.
So you like that urgency. But so with Mad Max, a movie that's got a lot of urgency, what do you think? Did you like that one?
Mad Max there are people calling it the greatest action movie in 50 years. It's not. In some ways, I like The Road Warrior, the second of the Mad Max movies, better because it's a little more modest. It's a lot cleaner. This one is George Miller, the director, just throws everything at you. It's still great fun, and if you're going to see it, I suggest seeing it on the biggest screen imaginable and seeing it in 3D because it's just one of these movies where he's always throwing things into the camera and spears are sticking to the camera and car grills are roaring into the camera and body parts are, you know, spiraling into the camera. And you really want, if you're going to do it, if you're going to go for the sort of carnival, you know, thrill ride aspect of it, this is a movie to see on a big screen. And it's a movie to see with everything that technology can offer. I'm not a huge fan of 3D, but there are occasional directors like James Cameron and now George Miller who use it very effectively. And so I would say if you're an action junkie, then this is a pretty darn good movie.
Gotcha. Well, a lot of people are liking that one. David, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your take on what's coming up this summer.
I hope it wasn't too cynical, but I think there's going to be a lot of great movies coming out this summer, and people should listen to Fresh Air and hear more about it. Or go to vulture.com.
Gotcha. And it's always good news. Good movies equals good news. That was David Edelstein, chief film critic of New York Magazine and vulture.com. He was with us to give us a peek at the upcoming summer movie season.